head coach of the Wyoming Cowgirls. Joe, you know, we were asked about true post players, where players play with their back to the basket nowadays, and those are disappearing, aren't they? True centers, true post players. You just don't see in the starting lineups that C next to a player's name anymore, do you?
No, Keith, you really don't. It just seems that everybody's spreading the floor a whole lot more, and I know even for us, you know, we take a player like Bailey Cotton, who's basically played center her whole career for us, and from day one, we start teaching her to have some perimeter skills and get her outside a little more, so it just opens up the floor. And so I agree with you. You're not seeing it much, and you watch NBA basketball, and you're not seeing many players have a center listed anymore. It's basically forwards, wings, and if you get a point guard, you're a lucky one anymore, because it just seems it's more positionless is how the game's being played.
Yeah, but Bailey turned into a three-point shooting machine.
She sure did, David. And like I said, give Bailey credit. That's been a lot of hard work for her, because that's not something that came natural for her. And little by little, we keep working with her. And I remember a player, Hillary Carlson. We did the same thing with Hillary. She was very difficult to stop on the inside, and we kept expanding her game. And I remember an NIT game where we ended up beating Oklahoma State on a back pick and pop with our five. And I want to think they had a 6'5 player, and Hillary was able to step out and hit a three. So every now and then it becomes important to get that big kid to step out.
Can you remember, just think, and the last, I guess, true center that maybe you can remember? I'm going back to the NBA, which Shaq, it was a true center and all that kind of stuff. It's hard for me to go back and think of true centers that the last ones that have played.
It really is. You know, you think about Olajuwon. He was inside. Shaq was there. But, you know, I'm so much older than you. I go back to, you know, Patrick Ewing, being able to watch him play. Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell. And the game's changed now, and it just seems everybody likes to be able to spread the floor a little more and have a little more versatility. And as much as everybody likes to be able to drive and draw and kick, and that's us. We do a lot of driving, drawing, kicking, and get those three-point shooters out there ready to shoot the basketball, and you need that space in the middle of the floor to be able to do that.
So, speaking of that, now the Cowgirls are the number one three-point shooting team in the country. Quinn Weidemann is the number one three-point shooter in the country. What does all that mean to you and the Cowgirls right now?
It means that's a nice question you can ask me. Hopefully, we're somewhere in the top 10 when it comes March, which means then we had a pretty good year. You know, right now, as I told the team, Keith, it's nice recognition. It doesn't mean anything. You go out there and your next game, you don't make shots, and that changes drastically. And I think Quinn's a prime example. She started out the year going 6-7 against St. Mary's, and then the next night she goes 0-3. And she had a big night against Vegas, 7-8. The game before she was 0-4. And so, you know, what we talk about more importantly is, are your feet set? Are you balanced? And then we talk a great deal about a good shot, a better shot, and a best shot. And I think sometimes you can look at things and somebody go, well, that wasn't a bad shot. That was a pretty good shot. Well, the best shot was making another pass. And I think when we do that, I'm more worried about that. There were so many clips we showed of the UNLV game where we made the right decision and we missed the three-point shot. And I told the team that this does not bother me, but we're making the right choices. And some nights, the basketball finds its way in for you. So, yeah, it's nice to hear, Keith. I just need it to be done that way in April.
Well, Quinn told me yesterday when we had her on the show, I mean, she's shooting 53% from three to lead the country, but she was not a three-point shooter necessarily in high school. She's really worked on that part of her game during the offseason and into this season. How have you seen that progression? I mean, obviously it's transformed well, but that wasn't her strength, I guess, in high school, right?
No, it wasn't. But also she was the distributor. She played point guard in high school. Ball was in her hands a lot more. especially with her club team as well, and she was the one trying to get to the basket, being able to finish and trying to set other players up. And in our system, everybody has an equal opportunity to shoot the ball. Our point guard brings the ball up the floor, but after that, everybody's the same. Everyone's screening, everyone's trying to attack, and everyone can be the recipient of the next pass. And Quinn has really fallen into that category. And I looked at some clips Saturday, and there was a play where we shot the ball, and it got kicked all around on the floor. Finally, we picked it up, and the ball gets rolled out, and who catches it? Quinn, all by herself at the three-point line. Sometimes the ball just finds you, and that just seemed to be her day. And it was nice to see. I think our fans really enjoyed watching Quinn put on that shooting display.
As much as you like the offensive output, when you put 90 and you shot 61% from three, I was listening to the coach's show on the way home last night, and you were more concerned with some of the defensive breakdowns maybe against UNLV, even though you only allowed 62 points. Is that safe to assume that you still need to work on the defense?
No, Keith, you were spot on there. UNLV shot 46% from the field. And as I told the team, you ended up having a big victory, but I don't want to have to shoot 61% every night out to win a basketball game. And if you shoot in the mid-40s, you've shot the basketball well. And I go, all of a sudden, if we drop back to that range, this game becomes another one or two possession basketball game. And so the last 2 days, we spent a great deal of time back defensively. We're back in what we call our shell drill, where all you do is play defense, probably for about 20, 25 minutes, get their focus back, their intensity. We brought some of the drills back that we do early on, and I even cleaned up some of the stuff that I probably let slide a little because we were trying to get so much done offensively. But you're right. We can't go in thinking we're going to let somebody shoot 46, 47% and think we're going to win.
San Diego State tomorrow, Joe, I know they play Boise State, very tough, just like you guys did as well. But in particular, what is this San Diego State team all about?
They put a lot of pressure on you. They got a couple big kids that really screen well on the perimeter, and everybody seems a great deal to do a lot of pick and roll. And so we got to be able to handle that. And they got a couple shooters that shoot the ball well. But one of the things I think I'm seeing, Keith, in this league early is there's not a big differential between teams. New Mexico's 12-1. I think their RPI is like 24, and they go in and win by 2 points against Nevada on the road. Boise wins by 3 at San Diego State. That tells me you better be ready each and every night to play, and that was a message to our team. And I think everything's going to be, just that way. I'm happy with how we're playing. We're sitting at 8-3 right now, 1-1 in conference play. Played the two teams, were picked first and second in the league. And so we got to find a way to, one, win on the road, and two, our defense has to improve.
How is UNLV 2-11 and was picked second in the league? Did they battle injuries early on?
Yeah, they had injuries to two of their three best players. And in fact, they've only played, I think, two games with all three players on the floor together. And so they're just getting them back right now. They had them back for us. And I think you're going to see a different UNLV team moving forward, especially when we play them again in February, because nobody is that deep to be able to lose two of your best players and not be able to play very much. And so that's why that was such a big win for us. And so it'll be interesting to see moving forward, because that's the team that was co-champ last year and lost one player. And so when they get everybody back to healthy, I think they're going to be a tough out. So it's a good win for us.
I know we talked a lot about the three-point shooting. I think a stat that probably piques your interest more is the assist-to-turnover one, and Clara and Taylor are right there, I think, fourth and sixth in the country in assist-to-turnover ratio. Does that one make you raise your eyebrows a little bit more than the three-point shooting?
It really does, Keith. That's one of the things we talk about is not turning the basketball over. And I think we're top five in average turnovers per game. I think we're just under 11. And that's something that we talk about all the time. You've got to take care of the basketball to give yourself opportunities to score. And then you have Clara and Taylor And that's the part I'm happy about. Taylor's a tremendous three-point shooter as well, and she has her assist numbers up of just finding people. And so now we're back to that theory of a good shot, a better shot, and the best shot. And if everybody does that, then everybody's going to get to shoot the basketball. And I think when everybody gets an opportunity to shoot, I think it makes you for a stronger team. I think it makes players happier. And so I'm really pleased for Taylor and Clara to be able to do that. In fact, most of our team is on the positive side of assist turnovers. And that's something that, you know, in our loss we had at Pacific, we turned the ball over 17 times. When you lose a ball game by about 4 points, you get that down to 10 or 11. That gives you six more opportunities to be able to score. So you're right. I'm more concerned about that turnover than the amount of threes we're making.
All right. I'm going to give you credit because you...
Thank you. Thank you.
You came out last night on the coach's show before kickoff, and you picked Clemson to beat Alabama, and there weren't a lot of people, because I can say our picks against the spread, Dave, JJ, me, and our guest celebrity guest picker all picked Alabama with the points. So I will give credit where credit is due, Joe. You did that, but I don't know. You didn't see 44-16, though, did you?
No, not at all. And I tell you what, when we're sitting there doing the coach's show, and all of a sudden the whole restaurant erupted, and Reese and I looked up quickly, and we see a Clemson player running for a touchdown, and I have no idea. I did not know it was a pick. And I'm going, okay, maybe things are going to work for Clemson tonight. And then I think Alabama comes right back with a 65-yard touchdown pass or something, and I'm going, okay, this thing's going to get crazy. No way did we think that Clemson was going to do what they did. But I tell you what, I've watched Clemson play before. I thought they're very talented. Their freshman quarterback's really good. And so is Alabama. And it's just one of those things is, you know, I got lucky last night, Keith. That's all it is. That's why I don't bet, because you no idea you have that what's going to happen. And Clemson got on a roll, and I think one of the things I was really impressed with, the way the receivers caught the ball, because some of those passes weren't even, you know, it wasn't like it was in the easy to catch, and they were making big plays. So thank you for that. And Reese, you were lighting Reese up with text messages and stuff. And I see your Sooners finished fourth in the voting. Ohio State even jumped them.
Yeah. It, you know, that was the AP poll. Does the college football playoff, do they come up with a final poll? I don't think they do. The AP guys voted, put Ohio State. They're prisoners of the moment, you know. That's how they roll.
Hey, Keith, top five in the country, top four in the country, I'd take that any year.
Yeah, sometimes the AP voters, they get it wrong sometimes.
Yeah, but the problem is you're not an Oklahoma fan. See, for them, that's a disaster being
there. I'm happy with it. You know what? They got to the playoff. It'd be nice to win one of those games sooner rather than later, no pun intended. But, you know, they're a top five program every year, so I can handle that.
Well, Keith, I was going to say, you can not only handle that, but you got to be really excited that they locked up Lincoln Riley long term.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then they got Alex Grinch, who was at Wyoming several years ago when Dave Christensen was here, and he was responsible for getting Washington State's defense a lot better, and he was just at Ohio State. So hopefully they can shore up that side of the ball. But we have to wait 200 plus days before we get college football again, Joe. It's a tough one. It's a tough season, but we've got Cowgirl basketball to bide the time there, and looking forward to tomorrow night.
Well, I appreciate it, Keith, but hey, remember, there's spring football.
Probably
at Oklahoma, that's a big deal too, isn't it?
I don't do spring football, Joe. I've never been big on spring football and everything like that.
We do have 200 days, Keith.
College basketball, Joe. Yeah. We've got college basketball.
But Joe, it's only about 30
days. What's that?
It's only 30 days to pitchers and catchers report.
You're right, Dave. That's exactly right. But, hey, it's 200 days, Keith, that you got to remember who had Clemson last night.
I know. I give you credit, man. You nailed it. You got it.
You're going to live on that for 200 days, aren't you?
I am, and so is Reese. Reese is going to let me know that we had the right pick. So, guys, thanks for tuning in today and getting me on again. And like I said, let's follow the Cowgirls for the next 2 months, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll see you tomorrow night, Joe. Thanks.
All right, guys. Take care.
There you go. Joe Ligurski joining us here on the Sports Zone. So really do appreciate that. Yes, he picked